kids are much smarter than you think they are. They are much smarter than they think they are. They just need an excellent teacher to teach them. That's all. But I remember one day when I was teaching this, I could get them to give me like the four different types of declarative statement. You could give the converse and the obverse, and they could describe the four cardinal virtues and the three theological virtues, and how you could parse them out into all their daughter virtues, and they could name the seven capital vices and parse them out into all their different categories of sin. They were very, very intelligent. It was wonderful to see it happen. But I remember one day, I think it was in seventh grade, we were talking about, I think it was converse, obverse in Socratic logic. You know what that is? Bonus gold stars to you. I'm not your teacher. I can't give those out anymore. And this girl, she like got frustrated with what we were learning, and she raises her hand, and she says, "Father, what grade level is this?" I was working out of a college textbook, but I didn't want to tell her that. And I said, "Do you understand it?" She said, "Well, yeah, mostly." I said, "Well, that's your grade level. You're understanding it. So who cares what grade level is? Grade levels are made up. Do you understand it?" She said, "Yeah, I get it." It's like, okay, then let's keep going. Don't worry about like what grade level it is or something. There's something really fascinating, especially about teaching morality. The first day of class when I was talking about virtue, ethics, the science of being a good person. I said, we're going to spend this whole semester learning a bunch of stuff you already know. You already know this. You might just not have words for it. This is kind of what we encounter in our gospel today. This scholar of the law, very learned, knows the scripture inside and out. And he wants to put Jesus to the test. He wants to know, how much does this Jesus guy, how much does this rabbi know? And so he asks, "What must I do to inherit eternal life?" And Jesus just shoots back a very simple question. "Well, what does the Bible say? What does Scripture say?" And this man, this scholar, he responds with this prayer, this recitation, which is given to little children. And it's a daily prayer of the Jewish people, even now, from before Jesus' time to now. It's a daily prayer of the Jewish people. "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your being, with all your strength, with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself." It's part of the daily recitations from the time that they're little children, from the time they're able to speak. Every day is repeating this. This is the simplest possible answer that the scholar could give back. Little children know right from wrong. We know what good and evil are. We don't really need to be taught that. You know that you're supposed to do good things and not do bad things. We know that we ought to be kind to one another and not take from one another. But as we grow older, we convince ourselves that maybe that person over there doesn't deserve my kindness. Maybe that person over there doesn't deserve help. Maybe that person doesn't deserve to be told the truth. We hear in our first reading, the law of God is written upon the human heart. He has planted his law in each of our souls. We know right from wrong, but we spend a lot of time convincing ourselves that we don't. We're making excuses for ourselves. This scholar of the law who went to go test Jesus, who gives the right answer, this answer that he's known since he was a little child, he tries to follow up with, "But who is my neighbor?" He tries to convince himself that maybe there are some people I don't have to be kind to. Maybe there are some people who I don't have an obligation to help. Maybe there are some people who don't deserve the truth. Maybe there are some people out there who are not my neighbor. Jesus responds to us unequivocally, "No. Everyone. Everyone deserves your help. Everyone deserves the truth. Everyone deserves someone to ourselves of all of these exceptions which don't really exist. Little children know not to steal and not to hit. It's adults who do a lot of the stealing and a lot of the hitting. It's we adults who have convinced ourselves that maybe stealing in this situation isn't so bad, maybe hurting someone in this situation isn't so bad. So what's the solution? How do we go back to being children and uncomplicate our ideas? How do we stop convincing ourselves that maybe I don't have to do this good, maybe I can do this evil? St. Paul begs us today in the second reading to see Christ in everything. He reminds us that everything is made through Christ. Jesus made the whole world. And he exists in the heart of every single person. He's there in the depths of our heart where the law is written. He is in every face that we look at. If we can come to recognize Christ in everyone, if we can come to recognize Christ in everything, it becomes a lot more difficult to convince myself that this person sitting in front of me doesn't deserve to be told the truth. It becomes a lot more difficult to convince myself that this person sitting in front of me doesn't deserve my kindness, or my help, or my generosity, or my hospitality. Because the person sitting in front of me is an image of Jesus Christ. If I can come to recognize Christ in every person I meet, it becomes a whole lot easier to do good for them. It becomes a whole lot easier to not convince myself that maybe that good and evil that I knew as a little kid, right and wrong, don't steal, don't hit, be kind, share. I think it's a lot easier to live that out if I know that every person I talk to, every person I meet, is an image of Jesus Christ. And that I bear the image of Jesus Christ in me. I beg you, my brothers and sisters, see Christ in every